Take my hand, lead me home. I am Karen and I am worn. Those are beautiful words. On this morning, let's take one another home in this time together. Let us pray. May the words from my mouth and the meditation from all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, one of the cartoons or comics that's making the rounds on Facebook shows a couple walking down the street, and she says to him, "My desire to be well informed is currently at my odds with the desire to remain sane." There are many days I am sure we all feel this way. I don't know your reason for being here today, but much of my need for worship is to find the courage and the compassion, yet again, to go out beyond these doors with sanity somewhat intact, with compassion restored, and conviction reignited. So may we each find some of those this morning. This is going to be a gentle sermon, not a sermon of hellfire, not a loud sermon, but a sermon of invitation, a sermon of reorienting, a sermon of good news. But first, some news that's not necessarily bad news, and it's perhaps old news, but it bears repeating. The mainline North American churches are faltering, are foundering, shrinking congregations. Many are closing and others are barely staying afloat. And others are taking stances that actively promote division based on doctrinal statements or political affiliations to distinguish themselves. We believe this, therefore we are right, and you are wrong. Recently, a congregation member from this place told me it was difficult to still call themselves a Christian in this time when we hear so many things said and done in the name of God or in the name of Jesus that do not seem to hold truth. And to write this larger, religion is painting itself into a place of seeming irrelevance for two reasons. Either because the perceived beliefs, and this is perceived beliefs, held by previous generations, do not seem to speak to those who are hungry and thirsty for spiritual comfort, for spiritual practice. Or because current beliefs hold a place of hypercentrality where rigidity is insistent that it be heard. So much for the bad news. The good news. And this is good news for me, squarely resting in this place amongst you, in this church at the corner of Bond and Queen, a United Church of Canada denomination. And it is this. Together, we can uncover truth, grounded solidly within each one of us, which, like the sun, is always being conveyed. I'll say that again. Together, we can uncover truth, grounded solidly within each one of us, which, like the sun, is always being conveyed. And this is an invitation, both gentle and inviting, not confrontational or exclusionary. It is an invitation that seeks to recognize wrong out of a place of strength, that holds out offers of relationship, and is continually trying to do better. And it is a vision and a mission of the kingdom that it is at the heart of this United Church of ours, fumbling together to uncover truth, and freely admitting, moved by the Spirit, when we have failed, when we have fallen short. Now, there's always a caution to be stated when we speak of truth. To claim truth is often used as a sword to deny another's truth, another's tradition. But there is the need to speak now of truth. When actions taken that claim to be following Christian truth are patently and painfully not either Christian or truth. And so we turn to the gospel reading I read, the gospel reading for today, from the portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus tells his hearers then and now, speaking as usual in riddle, "You are the salt of the earth." Well, have you ever tasted salt on its own? An unmistakable taste, grainy, tangy, mouth-puckering, strong, on its own, overpowering. But salt also enhances flavor. It brings out the taste of other foods on your tongue, and salt preserves. Without it, in first century Palestine, food would go bad when stored, unfit for consumption. To develop the metaphor, this line of Jesus seems to be saying, and many of you will know this from your study, you bring out the best in yourself and in others when you work in combination. Indeed, without the other, your salt is overpowering. Without the other, you do not recognize you are connected. Without the other, you may not know you are salt of the earth. Together, we can penetrate truth grounded solidly within each of one of us, which, like the sun, is always being conveyed. And then Jesus goes on and he tells them, "You are the light of the world." And what are the attributions of light? Light dispels darkness. Light provides sight. Light somehow makes the crops to grow in first century Palestine. What they did not know then were the scientific attributes of light, that without it, nothing you nor I nor Jesus could have existed. All of life is dependent on the sun. When Jesus tells those who listen, he speaks both of how they are individually light to the world, but also how they are as a community light to the world. Hiding one's light, or even attempting to, is wrong. So these two statements, you are salt and you are light, are both affirmation. And in fact, they read much like the best of self-help books. And they also both challenge. You are the salt of the earth, affirmation. Do not lose your saltiness, challenge. You are the light of the world, affirmation. Do not hide your light, challenge. And they are connected. If you lose your saltiness, if you are hiding your light, if you are shrinking from difficult decisions, if you are engaging in life-denying behaviors, if you are avoiding confronting ethical and moral dilemmas, if you are bearing grudges, if you are hiding the light of others, you are weaving that bushel basket that is hiding your light from the world. And these two lines are also connected in the form of an invitation. If you are in a place where you feel you have lost your salt, if you cannot find your light no matter how hard you look, and by God, we all feel this way, then here is safe harbor. Rest a while. Here is a place you are invited, expected, welcomed. Together, we can uncover truth grounded solidly within each one of us, which, like the sun, is always being conveyed. Now, I had a moment this week of uncovering that solidly grounded truth in one of our small group ministries. And there was a moment in that discussion when I was led to a place of community-held truth, a moment where the spirit of each became a moment of shared truth, a moment of clarity. And it had to do with salt and with light and with living in right relationship. In the letter to the Corinthians, we hear about this as well. It can only be experienced. It can't be taught. We hear Paul talking to himself almost as he writes to the tiny community in Corinth, trying to put down on paper what he has experienced, try to convey, making heavy weather of it, crossing out and rewriting. You can tell this Paul is not a wordsmith. You can sense his hesitation, and it makes his words all the more heartfelt, spirit-filled, and worth listening to. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I came without the accumulated wisdom of the ages and the sages, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And you listened. And why? Because it is the power of God at work in you. How astonishing these words are, and how comforting they are for the preacher. The person in the pulpit does not have the power to create faith or belief or even really transmit truth. We can only bear testimony to the best of our sometimes fumbling ability. It is the Spirit at work within you. The very thoughts of God are within you, waiting to be heard and ingested, distilled and acted upon. These are the stuff of faith. Paul puts this in stunning terms when he says, "We have the mind of Christ. We have received the Spirit that is from God so that we may understand the gifts bestowed upon us by God. So that we may understand our portion of light, our measure of saltiness." Awareness of the Spirit within us is the first essential step. And how much time or energy do we spend in a given week fostering that awareness? George MacLeod, who's the founder of the Iona community in Scotland, said, "There is one conviction that I cannot get away from, and without any dramatics am quite willing to die for. It is this, that only the truth of the spiritual can mold any future worth having in the world." I'll say that again. Only the truth of the spiritual can mold any future worth having in the world. All are capable of the awareness of God and receiving the gifts of the Spirit, of becoming pupils, disciples, learners, seekers after saltiness, bearers of light. This statement of Paul's that we have the mind of Christ, we have the mind of an anointed one, is both liberating and challenging. Challenging in that it suggests a very different understanding of the relationship of each of us humans to God than is often encountered in the church. Many conceive of our connection to God as fundamentally out there, fundamentally external. Jesus presents us with teachings and we must strive to imitate them. That is the extent of our ownership. But as Rowan Williams, who was the head of the Anglican Church, said, Jesus did not come to be a competitor for space in the world. He was not carving out a new religion. And it's also liberating in that Paul presents an intimate connection with God, a connection that involves our participation. We have the mind of Christ. We share with Jesus our own knowledge and relationship with God. We share in Jesus' conversation with the Spirit. We can indeed have one of our own. We have the mind of Christ. And so it begins, faintly at first, then picking up froth, like the bubbles created when you blow into milk through a straw. Awareness of the Spirit within, the mind of Christ, bubbles up in a deep, throaty chuckle, a pure, clear laugh that surprises and delights and cannot be contained. And your cup runneth over, and your light shines. Together we uncover truth, grounded solidly within each one of us, which, like the sun, is always being conveyed. Now, there's another voice that we heard this morning, the voice of Isaiah, teacher and prophet, here speaking from a time when the Jews returned to a destroyed temple in Jerusalem, who speaks out in his time and for this time. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. Together we can be bearers of truth, grounded solidly within each one of us, which, like the sun, is always being conveyed. And in this month of celebrating and standing in salty solidarity with those of differing levels of melatonin, those of African American heritage, and in this week of witnessing yet again both the saltiness and seeming saltlessness of some of our fellow human beings on this North American continent, and in this week of witnessing the salty solidarity in the light of folks gathering together to be salt, to share light, in the aftermath of violence in our city, country, continent, and world, and in this week of sharing grief and bearing whatever loss you are carrying, this morning perhaps we can reclaim, reaffirm truth. When we can be the truth, it grows more and more clear when it is necessary to tell the truth. That is, when we have access to the place within us that is lighted, we don't have to speak heatedly. We can just give away warmth. When we are still enough to brush quietly with eternity, we don't have to speak of God. We don't even have to do that. We can just offer peace to those around us. A tree grows so that it can convey wind. It is not the wind. And a person grows in order to convey spirit. And we are reborn, reaffirmed, each time we touch what matters. Conveyors of light, purveyors of salt. Coming together in worship and community grounds us once again in truth. And I want to end this day with the words of someone who I do not know, I have never met, but who wrote me this note after a service of worship much like this one. That individual wrote, "I was listening just outside of the service and heard beautiful words and songs. Thank you for your love, compassion, and understanding. God bless you. Inshallah." And it is signed from an African Muslim and fellow earthling. We will seek on this corner of Bond and Church to continue to make this place what it has been for so long, a place of safe harbor, a place of gentleness, a place of rest, and a place from which we can again set sail to be salt and light and bearers of truth to and for one another. May it be so. Amen.